He learned directly from the Master. And when we read from his letter in just a few moments, it will become so clear how deeply he caught the message of Jesus. Do you remember Jesus when asked, "Who is the great, or what is the greatest commandment?" Do you remember how he responded? He said, he quoted the Old Testament and he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Well, I have a little paraphrase for you of that great commandment. Love God with everything you have. That's what Jesus said. And then love your neighbor with all you are. Love God. Love neighbor. That is the central message of Jesus. Now, this is the second week we've talked about love, and one of the big problems for us in wrapping our understanding around that word love is that what we think about when we think love is not what is described in the Bible. So I decided I'd do a little quick search. So I typed the word love and definition into Google this week, and this is what popped up. First, an intense feeling of deep affection. Second, a person or thing that one loves, like I would call you love. Third, as a verb, a deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone. You see, we define love like a Hallmark card. We define love as feeling. It's this feeling I have for someone. And we think of love as romance and particularly of sexual attraction. And that's our go-to definition for love. Now, I even double-checked this by going to the old standard Merriam-Webster, and this is what they said. A feeling of strong or constant affection for someone, feeling. An attraction that includes sexual desire, strong affection felt by people who have a romantic relationship. And then a person you love in a romantic way. Again, you notice that our basic understanding, and it's changed over the years, but our basic understanding of love is this romantic attraction to somebody else. But that's, again, not what God wants. See, the Greeks had four different words for love, and I'm not going to give you a big definition, but one, eros, means that kind of passionate, sexual passion love. It's kind of what we think of as love. It's where the word erotic comes from. They have the word philos, and we get the word Philadelphia from that, the city of brotherly love. That's what it was. It was brotherly love. It's the kind of love you have for a friend. There was a word called storge, which was family love, so that would be the parent's love for a child, the brother or sister kind of love. And then they had a word called agape, and you may have heard that word thrown around some, and I'm going to toss it around a lot today, because it is an unconditional kind of love. It's a love that serves the other person no matter what goes on, no matter how the relationship might change, it continues to give to that other person. When we read John's letter, we're going to hear the word love many times. And it's this agape love, love that is unconditional, that says, I'm going to love you no matter what or how you react back to me. It's the kind of love that serves the other person regardless of their response. It's the kind of love that's action-based. It is not feeling-based. This kind of agape love does something for someone else. It doesn't just feel it. It seeks the good of the other person. If I go to that last dot, it's motivated by doing good for the other person, not self-interest. You know, we can do nice things for other people, but underneath it, we're really serving our own needs. That's not what this love is. And the other thing John will show us is that this kind of love grows from a heart that's already warmed by the love of God. And the supreme example, and John will use it twice in the passage we'll read, is that of Jesus, the full and perfect Son of God, who left perfection in heaven to come here to be among us, who chose to be birthed into an average family so he could connect with regular and everybody, not some gated or palace somewhere, and who eventually took our sins and died on a cross so that he could show us what love was. And he did that for messed up people like you and me and others around here, people who were apathetic towards him, or even antagonistic or hated him prior to coming to faith in him. That's the kind of love John refers to in his letter. So every time you hear the word love read in the text, think about this kind of love. 1 John. We're going to read portions of chapter 3 and chapter 4. His great section on love. You can grab a Bible in front of you if you'd like, or you can follow along on the screens. Beginning in chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need and has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And now if you would slide down to chapter 4, verse 7, John continues. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves, who has been born of God and knows God. We sang that this morning. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed His love among us. Notice, love is active. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love will be made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love was made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He, God, first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. God, help us to understand more about this love we are to have for others. So remember, the greatest commandment, according to Jesus, has a vertical component. Love God with everything you've got, and it has a horizontal component. Love your neighbor with all you are. Remember that graphic. Because this morning, I want to talk about that horizontal component. What does it mean to love our neighbor with everything we are? At least 8 times in our reading, Papa John reminds his people that we're to love one another, love each other, love the brothers or sisters, at least 8 times. That's our calling in Jesus Christ. And honestly, it seems like it would be a pretty hard lesson to miss if you just read those verses for yourself. I mean, from the very first word to the very last word, he is simply hammering home, love each other, love one another. But we have to remember what kind of love that is. It's a love that's unconditional. It's a love that loves regardless of the response. It's a love that is action-based, not feeling-based. It does something for that other person. It seeks their good, not our own good. It grows from a heart warmed by God. And it's motivated to see the best in the other person rather than ourselves. That's the love God calls us to. Now, if we take that whole reading, John makes it really clear that that kind of love doesn't come from us. It comes first from God. We can't love that way all by ourselves. It's simply not going to happen. We don't have it in us to be able to do that. That kind of love comes first from God because God is love. Verse 16. And it tells us in verse 12 that when God lives in us, His love is made complete in us. Verse 12. So to understand this kind of love, we've got to first be connected to God. It can't happen on our own. And after we receive God's love, we can begin to grow into this kind of love. Now, John does not give us any particulars. He just says, all right, go out and love one another. He doesn't tell us what it looks like, what it smells like, what it happens, other than he gives us a few clues, like you might have to lay down your life for someone, or if you see somebody in need, do what you can about it. You know, if you have the ability, do what you can. But beyond that, he doesn't give us a lot of practical help. And so I want to turn to one other place in the Bible so we can begin to really get a grasp of what this kind of love is and how God would have us live and act with other people. So we're going to turn to what I think is the richest definition of this kind of love, agape love, in the Bible, probably in all of literature. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in that passage, it's the same word for love, either in the verb form or the noun form. Again, it'll be on the screen. And I simply remind you that Paul places this in this letter because he's dealing with some big problems. The Corinthian church is fractured. People are one-upping one another. You know, I'm better than you. I have better gifts than you. I'm more important than you. I'm this, and you are that. It is a divided church. And at the heart of their recovery will be learning this kind of love. So Paul begins his definition in verse 1, and we'll read 1 through 8. Paul begins, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mystery and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Let's stop there for just a moment. Because God's teaching us something important about love here. Love is an action. We love in action and in truth. But love is not only an action. This kind of love, this agape love, also has to do with the motivation and the intention of our actings. What's prompting us? And if what's prompting us is not this kind of selfless, other-centered, unconditional love, then all we have are actions. And actions alone, this paragraph says, are not love in the truest sense. Now, there's still good things to do. Everything Paul mentions there is a good thing to do. But if all I do is the good things, but don't have that heart, then it's not what God calls love. So it is action-oriented, but it has to grow from that heart that's already been warmed and touched by God the Father, by the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit within us. So we can't reduce love to just actions, but it will always involve action. Now, before I read the rest, I want you to do one thing. I want you to picture two people of your choice. One person that's really close to you. You know, you love them. They're one of those most special people in the world to you. The other person I want you to picture is not so much. You define it how you want. It doesn't have to be an enemy. But just, you know, that person who makes your quills stand up. So just come up with those two faces for a moment. Do you have them? Okay. Now we'll read the description of love. Paul writes, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So how's your loving doing? Let me put up the next screen. Just the key words. Patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonor, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil, rejoices in the truth, always protects, hopes, perseveres. By the way, I left off the word trusts, a big one, never fails. That's an incredible list. And you know, it isn't exhaustive. Paul was just making a point there. It's not as if he listed every character, because all of these now have to be put into an action. What does it mean to not keep a record of wrongs? We all get hurt, you know. The world is filled with sinful people just like me. And I do things that hurt other people. And you do things that hurt me and other people. So what does it mean to not keep a record of wrongs? What does it mean to say, okay, I'm gonna get past that word spoken? What does that mean? It always protects. That has to become an action. What does it mean to protect that other person? Now, we can be going in all kinds of directions right now, depending on that person we have and where they are. Sometimes Real protection means rushing to someone's aid when something's happening. If I, saw my child walking out into a street and I knew cars were coming, protection would mean I'd run as fast as I could and grab that kid, probably screaming at the same time. But how do we protect the one who dove headlong into drugs or alcohol? When does our protection become an enabling of them? It's not easy answers, but these are the kinds of questions and thoughts we have to have. And then there's the struggle with that word always. Now, I know it's in the list because agape love is perfect love. I'm never going to get to always. This side of eternity, that's not going to happen. And I hope that the person I'm loving, especially those who are closest to me, and especially if you're a brother or sister in Christ, that you're reading the same list, because you may need to be patient with me. Because the odd thing is, we're all at different places in our walk, in our life, in our maturity, in our ability to love. And you may be miles ahead of me in one area, but behind me in another, and vice versa. And that's why patience is such a big deal. How do we have patience? How do you translate that into a verb for those two people you pictured in your mind? How do you have to show patience to them? And we could just continue to work this list: patience, kind, not boastful. It's interesting. Now, that's probably context-driven. But how often does our boasting or our need to be right cause us to be unloving? Agape kind of love, this incredible God-empowered kind of love, isn't natural for us. But we have God the Holy Spirit living in us. The third paragraph of chapter 4 talks about the fact that the Spirit lives in us, and because of that, we have this God-enabled capability. When we can't reach down for this kind of love in our own nature, we can reach down into the love of God and the person of the Holy Spirit in us to give us the help to live this way. It may not be received by everyone. Hopefully those closest to us will reciprocate. But as that circle of relationship gets further and further and bigger, that may be less true. Which is why the world can hate us, even if we are known for love. So hold those faces up. And they're just, two examples that we all have. How's your loving going? Next slide, David. Are you patient and kind? Not envious, not boastful, not dishonoring, not proud, not self-seeking towards that person? Are you easily angered by them? Do you have that ticker list going of all the times they did X, Y, or Z to you. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. How are you towards that person? Are you protecting and trusting and hoping? Are you willing to persevere with them? You know, does your love never fail for them? Do you never fail them? Folks, that's really what God's asking of us. And I know it's a huge deal. And I know it feels like we can't get there, and in perfection we can't. But too often we don't even strive for that ideal. We just want to stay comfortable in who we are and how we live and how we react towards other people. And we don't want to let the love of God infuse us to change us. See, the only way we can move towards this kind of love is if we allow God's love to invade every area of our life. So, two questions. One, have you started that journey with Jesus? Have you confessed Jesus as Lord? Have you allowed God's love to really come into you by surrendering to God? Have you begun that journey with Jesus? That's the starting point. But likely for most of us in this room, we've made that confession of faith. We've said, Jesus, I'm with you. So then, for us, the question is, are we moving deeper into God? Are we allowing His love to go into more and more places in our life? Or are we just playing it safe? Golly, I know I'm a believer, and I'm just comfortable like I am, so I'm going to stay like this. You know, that's really the question. Because if we want to move deeper in love, we've got to move deeper in God. And the truth is that this is a great test, personal test. Sit with these attributes. Sit with 1 Corinthians 13 before you and ask yourself, how am I doing? Come back in 6 months and say, how am I doing? Because if we're not growing in love, it's an indicator we're not growing in God. And that's Papa John's word for today. Let's pray. God, it's hard to feel real comfortable after a word like this from John. And God, I just ask that you would speak to each of us about the areas of growth you have for us. We see the challenge to love. We know what it is to be loved by other people. And Lord, I'm asking you to help us grow in love because we're growing in you. Lord, I pray that your grace would be with us, that your love would be in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anyone here and you're not sure you've taken that step of faith to put your life in God's hands, to confess Jesus Christ, then You know, I invite you to pray about that now. And you know, prayer's not something only good people do. Prayer is simply talking to God. And you could simply, in your seat, say, God, I want to start that life with you. I choose to believe in Jesus. Help me walk with Jesus. And if you want more help with that, we'll have prayer teams at the end of the service. And I would encourage you to go to a prayer team and to tell them you're beginning that journey. And we've got some stuff we can give you that can help you.